ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport, on your radio, ABC Sport Digital, and on the ABC Listen app.
It is our mega Ashes preview, and it wouldn't be the Ashes, wouldn't be the cricket on the radio in an Australian summer without this woman who's back again. She is an English woman, but really she's as much as an Australian. She's an Aussie passport holder. She's one of our own. She's back again for another summer on ABC Radio. Ellie Mitchell is with us on Grandstand across the country. Ellie, welcome back.
Hello, Corbin. Hello, Ben. I have to say, my loyalties are tested to the limit during an Ashes series. I arrive at the airport. I have to show two passports when I check in, and I'm forever thinking, oh, which one is burning hotter in my hand as we lead into this series?
Just on that, do you genuinely have to show two passports as someone that holds both passports coming into the country?
Well, you obviously travel in on the Australian passport, but they like to see your British one. And certainly when you leave, you travel out on your British one, but then they need to see your Australian one because otherwise they've got no proof that you even came into the country. They look at your British one and go, but hang on, where's your visa? And when did you arrive? I don't know, it's on the Australian one. So that's how that all works.
Yeah, good. That's pretty unique. A lot of people wouldn't be dual passport holders and understand how that all goes down. What was the optimism like when you left? Now, perhaps even on the plane, Ellie, were there many people making the trip out to watch the Ashes?
Very much so. There's about 40,000 due to come out to Australia over the course of this five-test series, and a good number of them were on my flight. One gentleman was getting so excited that he started to unfurl his flag of the St. George's Cross that's got his club cricket name across the front. He's like, look out for me at Perth Stadium. So, yeah, and a reasonable amount of optimism. And I think even more so the fact that when we got off the plane to the news of Josh Hazlewood being out of this first test match. And I've just been looking at some of the headlines in the UK papers that obviously come in sort of overnight, and it's disaster for the Aussies. No Hazlewood, no Cummins, a lucky break, England can't waste, all of this sort of thing. So, yeah, it's very much given England a little bit of a pep boost to know that they don't have to face either Cummins or Hazlewood for the first match.
Ali, off the beaten track here, but the town names or the local club names on the English flag, it's a very English tradition. It's not something we do in Australia. It's something we see commonly from the Barmy Army. Where does that come from, and why is it so common?
Oh, I couldn't tell you exactly where it came from, but you're absolutely right. People love to travel and love to travel with the pride of their cricket club, their town, you know, alongside. I mean, it happens when you get travelling England football fans as well. And certainly, yeah, for the Ashes, we're used to seeing it, aren't we? The big flag gets unfurled and you've got the name of your club. It just gives people a bit of a sense of identity, doesn't it? Away from home, and people back home know that they're there supporting their club. So, yeah, it's just a nice bit of travelling fan tradition, I think, that is a little bit unique to the travelling England support.
You know the English team better than us. Which way do you think they'll go for the opening test with their team?
I mean, the tall game at Lilac Hill would suggest that they're looking at an all-pace attack. The injury or little niggle to Mark Wood, they'll definitely be sweating on, you know, him coming through. And yes, the scans have shown no serious injury, but I mean, Shoaib Bashir was in the opposition side, at the start for this tour match. So it feels as if they're looking at Perth and saying, yeah, pacey pitch. The ideal would be to unleash Wood and Archer, going with that all-pace attack, and particularly now without Cummins and Hazlewood, make the most of an opportunity to win the first test of an Ashes tour for the first time since the 1986-7 tour. That's the last time England actually won the opening test of an Ashes. But if you like portents, Corbin and Ben, and England fans certainly will be clutching at any straws and portents they can. On that 86-87 tour, of course, England won that first test and went on to win the series 2-1. So just so much importance is placed on Perth. But it does feel like they would like to go in with an all-pace attack. And just whether this bit of a question mark hovering over Mark Wood, would that alter their course of thinking?
Do you think the optimism's well-founded from an English point of view? I mean, clearly the Bazballers have been able to turn things around. Pre-McCullum, what was it, one test out of 17 they won. They've now won 25 out of 41, but haven't won a banner series against their two chief rivals in India or Australia. Do you think that the time is now and that the optimism's well-founded?
I do. I do think it's England's best chance for a long, long time. I think even everything surrounding Joe Root and his lack of hundreds in Australia, I think he is in a different spot now to what he has been in previous tours. Yeah, he has travelled to Australia before, had to shoulder the captaincy. He's travelled to Australia when it's really been, you know, difficult tours due to COVID times. So if it's ever going to be Joe Root's time, he himself is sort of flourishing under this new lease of life, under the McCullum-Stokes partnership as well. So it could be the big opportunity for Joe Root, although he's doing his best to play down all the chat around his lack of centuries in Australia and just say, well, it's about being part of a winning team. How much of that, you know, is him just trying to take the pressure off himself? You know, it could be all part of the psychology of it. But certainly, even in, you know, as he rightly says, if matches tend to be bowler dominated on more seeming surfaces that we have seen in Australia, haven't we, in recent years? Well, then, you know, him scoring a really well-worked 70, 80 can turn a match. That's as valuable as getting any century. And he'll be, you know, his number one task is to play a kind of innings that can win a match for England, whether it ticks into three figures or not. But yeah, I think for Joe Root, it's going to be a really significant tour. One player who I think has gone under the radar, who I think could do well out here, is Gus Atkinson as a bowler. There is so much focus, extreme pace of Wood and Archer. I think Atkinson is quite quietly, you know, slipping under the radar at the moment. And yet he has been very effective whenever he has played for England. You know, he's a 6 foot two quick. He does get that movement, you know, with seam and swing as well. And yes, he didn't have a hamstring injury as well. But when he did come back, came into the Oval, picks up 8 wickets against India, I think he could quietly do very well out here on this tour. Not least because a lot of the attention, let's say, seems to be away from him and very much focused on Wood and Archer.
Ali, we had two of your colleagues who will be again on the ABC as well as the BBC throughout the summer, Jonathan Agnew and Phil Tufnell with us yesterday. And we asked them about Bazball. And us Aussies, we don't really understand its essence. You're a great storyteller. How would you characterise it?
Bazball, I think it is. Yes, there's an aggression about it. It has evolved, let's say, in recent times. I think Michael Vaughan tagged it Bazball with brains, which he had been calling for some time. So rather than just go out and trying to hit everything, it's understanding about going through the gears. And I think this England team now do have that greater, not just awareness, they might have been aware of it before, but it just seems for a while as if it was go out there and just try and hit everything. And the rhetoric around it, what was coming out of the players' mouths as well, was all about we're here to entertain, we're here to entertain. And actually, no, the fans want this team to win. And so there is now more of a sense around, yes, they want to play aggressively. They want to put pressure on the opposition, but they also understand when there's a time during a match where you've got to absorb some pressure and then you can go again. You earn the right to then go again. So I think Bazball is a mentality. It's something that the England team itself, you know, they do not like the term Bazball, and Brendan McCullum, you know, himself, you know, wishes it never got coined. It was coined by a journalist, Andrew Miller from Crick Info, and it absolutely has stuck, of course. But a refined Bazball, if you like, an attacking mentality, an aggressive mentality, but an ability to also absorb pressure when required and to go again. But I think, you know, we've also seen times when England have done the unexpected. I'm thinking day-night test match in New Zealand where Ben Stokes, you know, declares on the evening of day one. You know, he would declare with a batter on 90-odd if he feels it's the right time to pull them in. I mean, I think even during the Ashes, the Edgbaston test, wasn't it, in 2023, he declared at a slightly less conventional time, shall we say, but he will do things that might take the opposition a little bit by surprise and throw some people off kilter. So it's quite an imaginative way of going about sort of dismantling a game of test cricket in order to try and bend it to your will. Doesn't always work, but when it does work, it's really exciting to watch.
I'm glad you mentioned the mentality of it there, Ali, because I listened to Brendan McCullum speak about it on a podcast, and I said that basically what I took out of it was that he distilled it down to being free of the fear of failure. And that is also, by extension, the fear of criticism. So if you, you know, declare the innings closed early, you might be criticised because it might not work out. But if you believe that is the best thing in that moment, do it. And that's what I distilled his philosophy, whether we want to call that Bazball, down to, essentially.
Yeah. Let me give you a quote that Brendan McCullum goes by. It features, I think, it's actually on his on his WhatsApp profile, but it's by Susie Kassem, I think I'm right in saying, a US poet and philosopher. And the quote is, "Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will." And that encapsulates really what Brendan McCullum is about. And that's what he tries to instill in all his players. And you're right, it is that not to worry about failure, because the fear of failure will set you back, you know, more than anything else. So just
anecdote.
To have confidence, yeah, give something a go. So doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will.
There's also a similar mantra written on the skin of Ben Stokes. He's got a tattoo which reads, "Being the best that you can be is only possible if you desire to be a champion. And your fear of failure is non-existent." So that's on the body of Ben Stokes.
Not quite as poetic as the quote from Susie. I would have gone with that one personally.
That
one. But
Ellie, Ben mentioned you are a great storyteller. That these guys have so many links to Australia. They're, I think, five of the top seven played Sydney grade cricket. The other two, Ben Stokes, who, of course, the story's been told many times, obviously born in New Zealand, in the Antipodean part of the world. And then Joe Root, who obviously played grade cricket in Adelaide. Separate to those guys, perhaps a broader look at the squad, is there some of the Englishmen with sort of great human interest stories or fascinating backgrounds that I guess Aussie cricket fans will learn about for the first time?
Oh, I mean, there are some new names for sure. I mean, a bit of a wild card who's come into the squad for this is Will Jacks. In terms of sort of backstory, I mean, I'm just coming from, you know, cricketing wise, he hasn't played much first class cricket this summer, and whether he gets a go, that's going to be an interesting part of the series. And we haven't really talked about spin, have we? But I mean, the other bowler, which I wanted to say has not been talked a lot about in the build up, is Nathan Lyon. And when you look at the difference between the two sides, Lyon is a massive standout because the spin department just doesn't stack up, you know, with Shoaib Bashir, who just said, don't know whether he'll play a part in Perth or not, but he was almost earmarked and picked for this tour in mind, you know, with his height. Ben Stokes thinking that he'll get more out of this pitch, you know, than any other spinner, but he doesn't even play Shoaib Bashir. He's not the first choice spinner for his own county in England. So that's always been a really intriguing sort of part of his own story. Bryden Carse is a cricketer, though, talk about ones that the Aussies might not be quite so familiar with. But yeah, quite a sort of strapping South African bowler with South African background in the England side. And of course, that is no unusual thing. And his father actually played, it's not an Australian link for you, but his father, well, it might be, I suppose, because of Buff Lima, for England through his ancestral passport, and then had to qualify through residency, which he did in 2019. He's someone who was over here on the Lions tour of Australia in, was that 2019-20, and took 27 wickets in the five, youth test matches that they played on that Lions tour, and quite enjoys actually bowling with a Kookaburra ball as well. So he's, again, another bowler who I think has come into this and not been talked about so much because of the focus on Wood and Archer, but certainly someone who can have a big impact as well. And Gus Atkinson, he has a, when you talk about players' backstories, Gus Atkinson has quite a bit of sadness around his story, because he actually lost his mother in a car accident some time ago. I think it was during COVID, like 2010 sort of way. He's spoken quite movingly about the impact that his mother had on his career, always encouraging him to go further, to pursue his cricket interests when he might have, you know, really doubted himself. And after his mum died tragically in this car accident, his dad really emphasised the importance of Gus carrying on. You know, Gus was at a point where his career could have gone in one of two ways, but he decided to do what his mum always believed, that Gus could succeed in cricket. And that was a real driving force for him to, you know, go on. And as he did, made his England debut and had a most incredible test debut at Lord's in 2014, which was the match where James Anderson said farewell to test cricket. Gus Atkinson comes in, makes his debut, and it was like the passing over of a baton, because Atkinson came in, took 12 wickets in the match, got up on the Lord's Honours Board, made a duck on his debut with the bat, but then his very next test match at Lord's made 118. So he's got on the honours board for both batting and bowling in his first couple of test matches. So I guess Atkinson does have quite a story to his name as well.
Just very quickly, Ali, I don't know if this is someone pulling my leg or what it is, but Simon says Perth Stadium has announced a special Ashes menu The featured dish is baked beans on chips. This does not seem okay. We need to know Ali's views on this.
I thought you were going to say the featured menu would be duck.
No.
Surely.
Surely. Not in a cricket stadium.
No.
So I said that again. Baked beans on what?
On hot chips, I assume.
Oh, baked beans on chips?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, ordinarily I'd say baked beans on a jacket potato, definitely.
Yeah, very good.
Chips and gravy is a very north of England thing to do. I mean, you have chips and hot sauce, chips and, as we'd call it, tomato ketchup, not just tomato sauce. But, baked beans on chips. Mm. I'd go baked beans on jacket potato myself, personally, but I can see that as well.
Probably could have researched that better before I put it to you, Ali. But anyway, we look forward to seeing you come Friday and maybe before as well. Enjoy your week, and we can't wait. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, can't wait to see you guys as well. Bring it on.
Ali Mitchell, great to have her voice back on ABC Sport, and you'll hear, of course, on the first test come Friday.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.